Hello and welcome to another episode of the CIG Insider NJ podcast, brought to you by Capital Impact Group and Insider NJ. I'm your host, Paul Krupe, and my guest today is Assemblywoman Carol Murphy. Assemblywoman Murphy is in the midst of her first term as a member of the New Jersey State Legislature, but she came to the job more experienced than most freshman lawmakers, as she had previously served as a trusted and very well-respected staffer for both Senator Linda Greenstein and Assemblywoman Gabby Mascara. She tells us about how she drew inspiration from her job as a staffer to decide to run for office, and how her years working for two lawmakers prepared her for the job. She also shares how her late father's service in the United States Army impacts her decision-making as a lawmaker each and every day. We recorded this podcast on March 26th, one day after the push to legalize marijuana failed in the Senate. The Assemblywoman tells us why, in her opinion, the bill stalled in the legislature, and where we go from here. And, as a member of the Assembly Budget Committee, she tells us why she actually loves the budget-making process and enjoys the many hearings and discussions that are part of the job. Assemblywoman Murphy projects an infectious enthusiasm for her role in representing her constituents in Burlington County and truly loves serving in the Assembly. However, I ask her if she has any further aspirations beyond her current position, and you'll just have to listen to how she answers that question. And now, without further ado, Assemblywoman Carol Murphy. So I want to get started. First of all, kind of your background. I know I was going to say, how did you get interested in politics? You spent a pretty long career as a staffer.
I did.
In an authority, as well as on the staffs of two different legislatures. So what was your first step into kind of the political world?
Well, so this is a very long story. So back in the day when I was single, I wanted to coach a little league team. I lived in Marlton, New Jersey, and I wanted to coach. And the law firm that I worked for, my boss knew the mayor, and I needed a reference. And it ended up where I got on the Recreation and Advisory Committee to oversee all the parks and sports recreation. And from there, that's where it took off.
Was this in your hometown?
It was in my hometown. I lived in Marlton, worked in Berlin. So I was able to start working on that. And as I started working and get involved in more and more in my community, I got to know the Democrats. And that's where it took off. And I was able to manage one of my first campaigns, and which I'm friends with him now. And
which campaign was that?
Rob Sashak. So Rob Sashak was, he ran for assembly back in the 90s, and now he's a fire commissioner in Mount Laurel. But I have to tell you, it's good to be able to continue with relationships that you start back in the beginning.
Right, right.
So that's how I got started, and working for law firms and dabbling here and there, and ran for council in Marlton. That only enhanced my wantings. After I got out in 2001, I ran for assembly in the 8th.
Oh, is that right?
Yes.
Oh,
yes. Okay. So you didn't know that, did you?
I didn't know that.
No. So back in 2001, the old 8th used to comprise of Mount Laurel, Marlton, Morristown, all the M towns we called them, plus where they are now. And they needed somebody to run. I put my name in the hat, and I was also the treasurer for Burlington County Democrats.
Okay.
So I said, sure, why not? That was the first real run I had. And
learned a lot, I'm sure.
I learned a lot. Yep. And from there, since we didn't went very Republican, as you know, the 8th district is very Republican, I ended up going to work for Schools Development Authority.
Interesting.
And that's how 90% of this all started.
Yeah, very interesting.
Yeah. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And worked for Schools Authority in communications and on the custodian of records. And so that was a very wonderful career, because working with schools, you got the sense of parks and recs, and that's where I really wanted to be, is being able to help people, especially kids in school. And then moving on to being a legislative staff after about 10 years.
And you went to go work for, was it?
Senator Greenstein.
Senator Greenstein,
right.
First.
So okay. she went from being assemblywoman to senator. 2010, I left schools, went to work for Senator Greenstein. was her chief of staff for about a year. She got into it. She was an easy one to get into it because she was already knowledgeable. What a very intelligent woman. She knew everything. Yeah. So it wasn't a lot to get her familiar with. And then I moved on to Assemblywoman Mascara, who just got elected in 2011 in a weird predicament. But we got her going and left working for Assemblywoman Mascara in 2017 when I got elected to my own seat here in Burlington County.
The seat opened up when Senator Allen retired. She was a longtime Republican senator.
She was.
And then Assemblyman Troy Singleton moved up to her seat, that opened up your seat. I had read, though, that you had thought about perhaps challenging Senator Allen.
I did challenge. Okay. Actually, I was. And you know what? We're in her office. This is her office.
Right.
So it's very empowering being in a woman's office that won. As long as I've lived in Burlington County, I've always known who Diane Allen is.
Right.
I always respected who Diane Allen was. So it's very empowering being here, and we are friends. Now that she's out of office, I know her a little bit better. But yeah, so back in 2017, we didn't know if she was retiring, whether she was retiring or not. And I was like, you know what? I really want to try it. She was going to be a very admirable candidate. She'd be very strong. But if anybody was going to have a chance of beating her, it would have been in 2017 when the environment was starting to change more over to Democratic, especially in Burlington County. So I put my name in. And then next thing you know, I always say it's because I was going to challenge her. That's why she decided to retire. Yeah. She retired. The assembly seat is where I really wanted to be. I really wanted to be in the assembly. I'm very partial to that. It came up, so it was between Troy and Herb. They worked it out, and Troy decided to move up, and I was going to take the assembly seat, and here we are today.
So for a lot of freshmen in the assembly, there's probably a pretty steep learning curve. But for you, I mean, you had worked for two different legislators. So I'm sure that there wasn't much of a learning curve, but was there anything that kind of surprised you or required something of an adjustment to move as from being a staffer to then?
Absolutely. You're going to think this is weird, but I have to tell you, going from being a staffer to a member, the hardest thing, and even to this day, I still have a little bit of trouble with it, and I know it's going to always bother me because I look at myself as just Carol. I'm just Carol.
Mm-hmm.
So staffers that I worked with, they would call me Carol. Now they have to call me Assemblywoman. And I'm like, oh, don't call me Assemblywoman. They're like, well, we have to. That is very hard to, especially someone who's not in it for the title, but in it for different reasons, such as helping.
Mm-hmm.
It's very hard for me to get used to be calling Assemblywoman. Now people call Assemblywoman, but like 80 women turn around.
You know
what I mean? So,
right, right.
Or 80 members turn around. So that was a little bit of a challenge. And I have to tell you, when I sit here and watch campaigns, and everyone has a right to run for an office, but you really, before you run, you really need to know your government. You really need to know what's out there. You really need to know who the people are, because the relationships that you establish, whether you're a staffer or a lobbyist or an activist or whatever that is, those relationships matter more than anything, especially when you're in the halls of Trenton, in the State House. They absolutely do.
It's a small world.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And then no matter how you look at it, those relationships are the ones that's going to get you where you need to go to fully understand an issue.
And you were in a fortunate position to have probably forged a lot of those relationships as a staffer.
I was. And I was very lucky because I worked for two empowering women who empowered me and gave me the nod to go ahead and make those relationships. Go ahead and have those conversations on our behalf because we trust you. And that was the key proponent because, you know, when I was running, the first person I called was Jean Mulroy from CGI, which you have a little bit of a relationship there.
Full disclosure, he's my boss.
Yes, he is your boss. But he was the very first one I called because I had that relationship. But what made that relationship good was not only in Trenton, but a personal relationship. You know, we had the New York Mets.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's seen
right,
me and my
Mets
husband.
Yeah.
Mets connection. So I'm like, you know what? That's what I'm going to do. And since then, that was probably the best thing I could have done because it gave me the courage to reach out to a lot of the other people in Trenton, even before I got elected, to let them know that I'm here to work, and regardless of what happens in the election, I was here to work and support with them.
Mm-hmm. And do you draw a lot of inspiration from your fellow female legislators in the State House? I mean, is it, and I don't think it would probably be, you know, some issues obviously come down to the partisan divide, but through a lot of the people that I've been talking to on this podcast, that seems like, even though partisan divisiveness is such a big issue federally, it seems like in Trenton it's not as big of an issue on a kind of a day-to-day scale.
It is not. So I know one of the things that, and I will plug this because I think this is important to know. The legislators, freshman legislators who got elected in 2017 for the 2018, we developed a club, or I should say because of Assemblyman Fryman developed this club called the 218 Club. And it's all the freshman legislators who came in working across the aisle. And we put a resolution in that would urge federal legislators to really look at what you can do working across the aisle, what you could do.
That's a great idea.
Working with people. The women in the legislature, they are empowering because we put together a women's caucus. We brought that back. And I have to tell you, it's comprised of both sides of the aisle of women. We're working, we're collaborating, we're talking about the issues. We all have, you know, we all have a separation of what ideals and how we want to get it done. But the issues are still there. The issues are real. So 99% of all of us get along very well together. We work, we're friends. But we also know that when it comes to getting something done, we have our own perspective. And we respect that. And that's what the key is, respect.
So when you were a staffer, were there instances where you would work on an issue for either the senator or the assemblywoman and think to yourself, if I was a member, I could really sink my teeth into this?
That is where I came from. Yeah. So working with the assemblywoman, there were so many issues she was passionate about. And I kept going and saying, wow, this would be great for Burlington County. This would be great. I could do this as a member. And, you know, coming from a background of a an Army brat, my father instilled in me what it would be like to give back. And I kept thinking, wow, this would be great to do for Burlington County. This would be great to do for Burlington County. And so that was the backbone of why I wanted to run, was to be able to bring my knowledge and things that I'm learning to Burlington County. And that's where I started, and that's where I'm going to hopefully continue for years.
That's great. So you mentioned your father was in the Army, so I assume that that kind of instilled a deep sense of public service?
Absolutely. So my father was a Master Sergeant in the U.S. Army, Bronze Star recipient.
Wow.
Fought in two wars, Korea and Vietnam. Died when I was 17, unfortunately, from major injury-related illnesses. But he gave to his country totally, totally selflessness. I mean, he enlisted when he was 16 years old. He came from Arkansas. I grew up in Oklahoma. 16, 17 years old, enlisted in the Army, fought, retired, worked through his own business of TV repair. And let me tell you something. The one thing that always impressed me about my dad, besides he was my best friend, was that there was a time when I said to him before he got sick, it was during an election year, I said, Dad, who are you going to vote for in this year's election? And he said, he just looked at me and goes, what do you mean, who am I going to vote for? I said, yeah, who are you going to vote for? It's a presidential election. And I can't remember the year. I think it was, he died in 1980, so it had to be in the late 70s. And he goes, Carol, I'm not going to be responsible for putting any of those knuckleheads in office because they're not people with whom I believe to be in office. So I made a pledge to myself, and I'm proud of this, that I wanted to be that one legislator who my dad would vote into office.
That's
what I measure people's legislative wants by, is that person, that whether my dad would want that person in office or not.
So his influence still has an impact
still
on you.
Still has an impact on me today.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And the fact that, you know, I'm very partial to the military. I've been working with a lot of the military folks and the colonels and all, and I'm part of BMAC, which is the Burlington Military Affairs Committee. And there is no group of people that deserve people's support than the military and our and our police and all, because first responders, that's where it is.
They sacrifice so much.
Absolutely. And they do it without wanting the you know, they're not in it for the recognition. They're in it to help people. And even though there's a lot of community issues, I believe the community come together and support everybody in the community.
So did you grow up in the area, or did you move from base to base, kind of, as with your father? Or
well, you know what? My, as far as I can remember, I was born in Colorado.
Okay.
And then we moved to Germany. Mm-hmm. That's where my sister was born, my younger sister. And then from there, we came back to, we went to Georgia. Okay. After, so I was 2.5, 3 years, kindergarten through the middle of third grade in Georgia. And then we moved up to Jersey because my dad retired and my mom wanted to be close to her family. Mm-hmm. And that's where I've been ever since. Camden County, we lived in Berlin for a few years, and then I moved to Burlington County. And that's where I've been an adult.
That's terrific.
Yeah.
So you got to experience a little bit of culture, mm-hmm. though you were
younger. I did.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Especially living in Germany. I mean, my husband and I went there back in 2011 for vacation. And all I kept thinking was, like, I wonder if it was like this when I was five. Mm-hmm. I wonder if it was like this when I was four. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it was great. It was great. And and now I live in Mount Laurel, mm-hmm. and Rancocas Point, and we're working to build up our community there in the Rancocas Creek section, and all those craft stores, and mm-hmm. trying to build that up, and that's important.
Mm-hmm.
Community is important, mm-hmm. and you see more and more people trying to do the community.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they're getting back to.
Yeah, and that is important.
That is important.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think if I went back in time, if I lived like in Mayberry or RFD, I think I'd be happy. Everybody mm-hmm. knows your name there.
Right,
you know
right,
I mean?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, it's a common thread that kind of unites everybody.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's what makes people feel more comfortable and protected and mm-hmm. invested. If you I always believe this. Even working in community relations when I was in Schools Development Authority. If you get people invested in the beginning, they're going to be invested for a lifetime.
So do you approach your job as a legislator with community-focused issues kind of in mind as a priority?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. That's where I love the policy aspect. I love being able to make policy that helps my communities. But what I thrived on and where I would have to say 75% of my days are, because I am a full-time legislator, is mm-hmm. in the community, is meeting with people, having conversations with people. I love the idea of going to these meetings that are not just related to constituents, but related to the community in whole. Like RCBC, I was there this morning for a meeting in Roman College of Burlington County, and that's a great community staple that people can go to. So my schedule is my constituents and other folks' schedule. And I like to consider myself a state legislator,
mm-hmm.
not just a Burlington County legislator or a 7th District legislator. I like to consider myself a state legislator because everything we do should impact everybody, not just one group of people in a specific area.
And you serve on some prominent committees, too.
I do. Budget. So I think I'm the only one on budget. This is funny. I'm the only one on budget who last year after the budget was over says, let's do it again.
I think you are the only person who
said
that.
That's what I said. Everybody's like, oh. So when the budget time is coming around, we're having our second open hearing tomorrow. They're like, oh, the only one smiling is Carol. So, Governor, if you're hearing this, I'm smiling right now.
That's funny.
Yeah. And then, of course, I'm the vice chair of judiciary. I'm very mm-hmm. lucky to be the vice chair of judiciary. I was approached about doing it, and I said, sure, why not?
Mm-hmm.
Take that on. And then, of course, the financial institutions and banking.
And I'm sure that's where your background as a former staffer really helps, too, to kind of navigate those committees. And
it does. Yeah. It does. And, you know, and I have some other things, you know, community-wise I've been doing. I'm a founder of Maria's Women United, which is named after Maria Bartleby Greenwald, the majority leader's mother.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still part of that, even though I'm not on the board any longer. I hope to be on the board of Alice Paul, which, you know, I'm looking to do that. Girl Scout delegate. And mm-hmm. I'm also, I just got appointed to the National Foundation for Women Legislator as their Democratic state leader here in New Jersey. Yeah, so I'm trying to do as much as I can, as often as I can.
Well, I'm sure you're keeping busy.
Oh, yeah, very busy.
Especially
very.
This time of year with the budget process mm-hmm. really just ramping up.
It is.
You have a lot of committee hearings. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's interesting because being on that committee, even though it's focused on the budget, it really touches all aspects of life.
It does.
Social issues and public health and really kind of everything.
It does. You never know New Jersey until you sit, as a legislator until you sit on the budget committee. And before I got on the budget committee, Senator Greenstein was on the budget committee when I worked with her. And I was sitting there thinking, wow, how do you remember all of this?
Mm-hmm.
And so when I got on the budget committee, which was, I asked for the budget committee, I got it, I was very excited, took that right on. You sit there and you think about, wow, what am I gonna know? Am I gonna be just as good as the person who was on it for the last 15 years? And this year I feel a little bit stronger because I had that information. But as I meet with people, you now remember all that budget. You know what the state spends. You know right. what the state needs. You know what is the challenges that are facing each and every person, whether it's an authority or if it's an organization. You know, I'm looking at my DSP workers who mm-hmm. I've been fighting for, you know, higher minimum wage. And it's just you realize the value of what Jersey has to offer and the plight that we're in when it comes to money.
Last year, the budget process was difficult, mm-hmm. I guess you could say.
Mm-hmm.
Anticipating kind of the same this year, or do you think it'll be a little bit smoother?
I think it's going to be more communicative.
Mm-hmm.
I think last year with the new governor, and it didn't matter who the governor is, I think whenever you do have a new governor mm-hmm. coming into it, especially one that is well known for what he has done in his lifetime
mm-hmm.
And his government role, but each government role is so different. And unless you do this day to day, you really don't know what is in here. So I think it took him a little while to get adjusted, as it did the legislature to get adjusted to a new governor and a new way of doing things. I think now we're in a more position of communication. I think that was the biggest part that was missing last year was mm-hmm. communication mm-hmm. between the legislature, the front office, and other folks who were involved. And I think we learned that, you know, we get things done with communication, whether we agree or disagree.
Right.
As long as you communicate and, you know, you hold true to your word, we're going to be better off than we were last year.
And aside from the budget, there are some big ticket items that are still out there.
There
as we
is.
Sit here today,
mm-hmm.
Yesterday there was the failed vote to get the legalization right. of recreational
Absolutely.
Marijuana out
Absolutely.
Of the legislature.
And you know what? That was a hard. This is a hard subject, legalization, because there's so many facets. We have questions of surrounding. You know, my perfect thing. I was going to vote for it because I read the bill thoroughly, but I still had questions about the home delivery system and how we make sure our minors do not get it. And that's we have to face that no matter whether it's legalization, alcohol, tobacco, or what the case is. I mean, you still have that. A lot of, I think, of folks were hung up on is the expungement process. We want to make sure that the right expungement process is put in and we don't just ignore other folks getting in. And I think people were really concerned about that to assure that that was done right. And I don't think a lot of the members had a chance to really review it. We just saw the bill
mm-hmm.
And the bill was worked out. And to really fully get a comprehensive of the bill, I think that's where we needed more time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you talk to legislators, that might be the one point. That and plus their own philosophical views on legalization.
Do you recall as a staffer working on an issue that was kind of equal in its complexity or kind
yeah.
of contentiousness?
Yeah, gun control.
Okay.
Working with Assemblywoman Mascara, we worked on a gun through the Giffert Foundation,
mm-hmm.
Gabby Giffert, and that was very complex. It went really speedily quick, and that was a little bit differently because we're talking about an issue that was guns and abusers, domestic violence abusers.
Right.
So that had a little bit more of an urgent issue.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that was as completely complex as you can get it as well, because you had a group of folks who believed that we were infringing on their right to carry and Second Amendment right, which that's not at all what this does. We
mm-hmm.
were just trying to get guns away from domestic violence abusers,
mm-hmm.
and we successfully done that after many compromises, many conversations with the front office. We worked hand in hand with Senator Weinberg on this, and I think that's, again, goes back to what I was saying, communication and working together to assure that it isn't my bill versus their bill. It's
right.
our bill
right,
and
right.
for our residents.
Right. This area, Burlington County, is kind of experiencing a changeover in terms of political dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
Power is shifting from Republican to Democrat. Do you see how will that impact kind of the way you go about doing your business at all in the future? Or
no,
really?
No, because you know what? Before the new freeholders came in, I worked with them, the mm-hmm. freeholders. They were wonderful people as well. Their intention was Burlington County. Mm-hmm. I think what we're going to see a difference is what gets done and how it gets done. Not so much the need. The need's always going to be there. Of course, it's always easier working with your own party in government because then you have that close-knit relationship, the trust factor, et cetera. Mm-hmm. But I think that we're going to see just as a strong county under the Democratic control as it was under Republican control.
Mm-hmm.
So I have no fear about that.
That's great.
Yeah.
Do you have any aspirations beyond the assembly?
Wow. You have time? No, I do. I would like to, when the time's right, and I say when the time's right, it's when I feel the time is right, not when, because I never wait to get tapped on that shoulder and say, okay, you can do this. I always want to go after being the best I can. And I want to make sure that this job that I'm doing now is to the best of my ability and that I've reached my maximum. And I like to get into leadership and enroll in a leadership role. Mm-hmm. I feel I'm almost there as far as the community seeing me as a leader. I have two strong allies. That's, you know, Senator Singleton and Assemblyman Conaway. They are very much viewed as leaders of the community.
Yep.
And I
very well respected members.
Very well respected. And I want to live up to that. So when they see me or they see them, they're like, oh, you know, that Assemblywoman, she did a great job. And that's what I want to hear back.
Mm-hmm.
But I hope to get into leadership. And, mm-hmm. you know, as we all move forward, you never know what might come down the pike in,
mm-hmm.
in
sure.
the next 2 years, 3 years, 4 years. I'm going to leave it at that. I have a political consultant for husband. So
that's right. You do. Yeah.
He does national politics as mm-hmm. well. So you never know what might come up down the pike.
Interesting. Yeah. To be determined, I guess.
To be determined, right.
Yeah,
maybe
yeah.
next year we do a podcast, I'll have another answer.
Excellent. Do you find it challenging to kind of get your name out there and introduce yourself to people around the community? And, you know, you may face some critics or you may face some people with differing opinions. Is that something mm-hmm. that you enjoy or is it something kind of like...
It is. Yeah. I enjoy. I'm not one to shy away from controversy. I don't bring it on, but mm-hmm. I don't shy away from it. I like it because it provides me with a sense of what's real and what isn't. Because if you go places where you're always in that comfort zone, how do you know what the outside world is really like?
Mm-hmm.
So, no, what I find is once I meet somebody in a group, I'm comfortable. It's just getting that initial, hi, how you doing? And it's a little bit easier being an assemblywoman because now you can say, I'm your assemblywoman.
Mm-hmm.
And that prompts the questions. But as a regular, ordinary resident of Burlington County, it would have been a little hard for me to do that
sure.
without that oomph behind me. And I feel that's what's making it work for me.
And what do you say to young people who may be a little turned off by politics or may not be as engaged as they could be?
Well, let me tell you, I'm supportive. And I see a lot of young people more and more engaged
mm-hmm.
in an activist role. And I always tell them that they don't have to be a politician to be an activist. If you truly believe in something, fight for it. If it takes you the direction of the politics and that's where you want to go, go for it. And this is where I do believe, you know, Senator Singleton always says that we're not politicians, but we're public servants. And that's how I look at myself. If you're in this to serve the public and to do what's right by the people who you want to work with and for, then look at a field like this. But it doesn't necessarily mean you have to be in politics. It means if you're an activist, continue fighting for what you believe in. There's so many avenues that you could go, and it doesn't always lead to being an elected official.
Mm-hmm.
And I think more and more of our young adults, our young ladies and men are seeing that,
mm-hmm.
seeing to be able to go do that. And my door is always open if they want to look at the good and the bad of politics.
That's great.
It's not all great politics, but, you know, it depends on where you go, as vicious as it can be, and it can be as great as rewarding as it can be as well.
Absolutely. Well, this has been a really great conversation.
No, thank
I really
you so
appreciate
much.
It. So I like to end with Fast Five. So it's like five random questions, just
okay.
kind of the first thing. And it's really not – my wife was joking because she says you just call it the slow five because people take
people
a while.
Think about
yeah.
it. So you're looking for like what, like these psychology
yeah,
exams. You know,
not,
what do
yeah.
you see now? What's the first thing coming
exactly,
up?
Exactly, yeah.
Okay, shoot.
And then you may figure you should do something else besides that one. Just
well, it's
so favorite vacation spot?
Favorite place, believe it or not, it will be Ireland.
Okay. You've been there before?
I was. My husband and I went on our honeymoon.
That's
and
terrific.
I will go back in a minute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're Irish too, so.
I'm Irish too, even though there's certain people that don't recognize I'm Irish, but I'll let that go for now.
That's great. You said you're a Mets fan.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of interesting because we're in South Jersey.
Yes. Well, you know, I am a Mets fan through marriage.
Okay.
Okay. Baseball's not my favorite. I'm more of a hockey fan.
Okay.
Devils, New Jersey Devils.
Okay. Did you ever get to be a Little League baseball coach, by the
way?
I never did.
And I'm telling you, I always think back, like, what happened? And no, but I look at this as a Little League, okay? Because we're...
That's true.
Look what we're trying to do in Trenton, okay?
Yeah.
We're always refereeing things.
And the governor likes to say that it's his job to call balls and strikes. So
absolutely. So we're
like
referees.
Players,
and
we're
putting it all together. But there no, I go. Never did. But yeah, so hockey is my biggest thing. Football comes second. I'm a Seahawks fan.
Okay.
And I... Eagles fans were okay with that because of Seahawks.
Right, right.
Okay, it's not the
Giants.
Not
a Giants fan, yeah.
Not a Giants fan.
Okay.
But hockey, New Jersey Devils.
Okay,
yeah.
Great. We talked a little bit about the, you know, the relationship you have with other female legislators. Mm-hmm. Are there any female leaders that you admire, either in state or nationally, that you draw inspiration from?
You know, I listen to a lot of the legislators, and I have to say there's one that comes to mind all the time, and that's Bonnie Wesson Coleman.
Mm-hmm.
I've known her even before I became a legislator. And a quick story about Bonnie Wesson Coleman, her husband. So my now husband at the time, we go to Aruba for a vacation. It was like a year or two after we were dating, after we were together. And it was Thanksgiving time. And we go across, like they had a condo in a Divi Village. And we went across the street for Thanksgiving. And who's there? Bonnie Wesson Coleman, her husband. But she has always been an inspiration, and especially now, because she not only is she tackling DC, but she just is now cancer free.
Right. Yeah.
And when you have that dedication to your constituents and to yourself to be the best that you can be, those kinds of things don't hold you back. And that's where the inspiration comes from. And when we look at it, and even when she was in the assembly, she was one person that I would look at. And another person I would look at after Bonnie Wesson left there was the lieutenant governor. And I always say this to the lieutenant governor today is that I was always in awe with her.
Mm-hmm.
She is, when she was Speaker of the House, she knew her issues. There wasn't one thing that she could not comment on with intelligence and knowledge, and that's something to always look for. So when I'm in my in the caucus room and talking about issues, I always think about how the lieutenant governor herself and now congresswoman always knew the issues that was before them, no matter where it was. It didn't have to be in their district. It was anywhere in any state, but mostly in New Jersey. So I would have to say those two.
Great choices.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you have any advice for young legislative staffers? Drawing on your, you know, years of experience as a staffer, someone just starting out, is there anything that you would tell them?
Yes, I would. So my staff's listening. I tell my staff all the time is that social. You need to have your social communication.
Mm-hmm.
It can't be all the time computers. Mm-hmm. It can't be all the time texting. You have to develop those social skills. It's like when we try to get kids in school early because we want them to develop those social skills. Yes, the way you become a good staffer and the knowledge you bring is through the relationships and the contacts you make with them verbally and socially. Not so much professionally, but social skills are needed. So work on them and you could be the best staffer in the world for your member because that's what we work on.
You seem to really enjoy your job a lot.
I do.
You have really infectious enthusiasm when you talk about it. Is there any other job you'd like, though? If you could go back and pick and kind of just a dream job instead of being a lawmaker,
actually there is. Oh, my God, I can't believe you said that. So if someone offered me, besides this job, if I wasn't in this job, because I think this would be number one, it would be working for the law enforcement to investigate cold cases.
Really?
Absolutely. I look at...
You like those shows? All those like the dramas on TV? Like...
I like the shows, but I like investigating things.
Uh-huh.
I like knowing why. I like to find things that is hidden.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I like to be... just having that, you know, that suspense around you, the mystery, always right. like a good mystery.
Right, and put together clues and finding out different pieces to a puzzle.
Yeah, and finding that out. And, you know, I like to rely on my gut instinct on things, and I think that helps a lot. So if I could do that, that would probably be fantastic. Now, if I could do both of these, right. that would I would be
You could moonlight as a detective.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, yeah, not carry a gun, but just put me in an office so I don't...
That actually sounds like a pretty good TV show.
Don't
be a legislator during the day.
All right, let's do it.
Perfect. Paul. Well, thanks very much. This was a really enjoyable conversation. Thanks. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Best of luck to you as we go through this budget process, and we'll see you around Trenton.
Absolutely. And, Paul, next time we do this, I'm interviewing you.
Oh, geez. I haven't had that yet.
We're going to.
Okay.
Okay, so
excellent.
You pick a time, and we're going to interview you.
I like that. Great. That'll be the season finale of the podcast.
I like that.